Can the world avoid catastrophic climate change? Well, most scientists agree that a temperature increase of just 1.5 degrees Celsius is that fine line between manageable change and passing a tipping point that could well be catastrophic. We can avoid this, but the world needs to invest a lot of money. Emphasis here is on a lot, $150 trillion to be exact. $150 trillion by 2050. To put that number into perspective, total GDP of the United States last year was $25 trillion, just 1/6 of that. So what we're going to do, we're going to dig deep into the data, try and find out where this money is coming from, who's stomaching up the investment, and what technologies are going to support our transition away from fossil fuels. Welcome to I See Your Trade Extra. I'm your host, Alex Holmes, economist at Oxford Economics. I See Your Trade is brought to you by IC Markets, a leading high-performance trading provider. Trade up to IC Markets. Okay, what we're going to do is look at a series of four charts that can help shed light on exactly what is going on here. If you're listening to audio only, don't worry. I'll talk you through the data, or take a moment now and you can switch on the video screen. This first chart shows that global average temperatures have increased by more than 1 degree Celsius since the industrial times. Just remember that the Paris targets are to slow global warming to a temperature rise of 1.5 degrees. So we're already 2/3 of the way there. And you don't have to be a scientist to see that this chart has been getting steeper and steeper since the 1980s. The International Panel on Climate Change says if we're going to keep temperature rises below 1.5 degrees, we need to start investing significantly more money. This means investing in new technologies, getting the right financing in place, and increased scrutiny and accountability for compliance amongst large corporations. What this next chart shows is that a whole bunch of companies have made net zero pledges. Companies like Microsoft and Unilever, for instance. But if you look at the world's largest 2,000 companies, only about 10% of them has made a net zero pledge. And it's even worse if you look at countries. Only 4% of them have made a pledge to get to net zero. And of course, intent only gets you so far. What it really comes down to is the question of, show me the money. On that, where is the money coming from? This chart shows global sustainable fund assets and from where the money is flowing. Unsurprisingly, Europe is really the world leader in terms of money flow into funds that are focused on investing in ESG assets. The United States hasn't really been as active, although certainly individual companies like Tesla are playing a role. Asia, pretty slow to the party as well. To put things into perspective, some of the global crypto funds are bigger than ESG funds. When Dogecoin is eclipsing most green energy funds, you know we've got a long way to go. The world of finance really is going to have to get its thinking cap on and devise new ways of channeling capital to solving what is the world's biggest problem. And it's not just private finance either. Governments and public-private partnerships will also be crucial to getting things off the ground. As you can see from this last chart, if we want to stop temperature rises going above 1.5 degrees, the world needs to invest $150 trillion. The technologies that need more investment are not only renewables, for both direct uses and centralized power generation, but power grids and energy flexibility, carbon removal, capture and storage, hydrogen, particularly green hydrogen, and the electrification of everything we can think of. Last summer was the hottest summer on record in the Northern Hemisphere. So the question now is, will the money follow temperatures higher? Certainly the language for COP28 is around tripling renewable energy capacity, but the scale of the challenge ahead is enormous and it can all sound pretty daunting. So let me leave you with the optimist's manifesto. Technology has this power to radically change how we live our lives. Forecasts have been consistently way too downbeat on things like the cost of solar, which is decaying now at an exponential rate, to a point where new solar is by far the cheapest power generation source. And then there's things like EV adoption, which is now happening all fairly quickly. China is already churning out EVs, and traditional automotive powerhouses in Japan and Europe are rapidly retooling in order to join the party. That's not to say that it will all be automatic and we can sit back and do nothing, or of course that it's not going to cost a lot of money, just that it's no time to be defeatist. Play our cards right, and at the end of it all, we'll have bountiful, renewable, and crucially, cheap energy. And I'm going to leave you with a final thought. Past eras of newly found energy abundance, such as when we first adopted coal or discovered oil en masse, have generally led to a supercharged period of rapid economic growth. Maybe that's what we've got to look forward to once we've solved the problem. Thanks for tuning in to I See Your Trade Extra. I See Your Trade is brought to you by IC Markets, a leading high-performance trading provider. Trade up to IC Markets. Thanks again, and I look forward to seeing you next time.